only one enemy. There are three. And I want you to write these down. There are three enemies and you have them in verse 2 and 3. In verse 2, you have two of them. The world and Satan. In verse 3, you have the flesh. You have three enemies. The world, Satan, and the flesh. As a result of their attack, three things happen. You're dead in trespasses and sin. You became children of disobedience. And you became children of wrath. Three enemies. As a result of their attack, you get three results. Those are verses 2 and 3. And I want you to write these things down because you will need them later on.
The past, the present, and the future. They're all three. For those that weren't with us yesterday, we did a little research on the family tree from which we came, and we were a bit disappointed. We found that where we came from was not very pleasant when we look at what we were. Emil said it, dead in trespasses and sins. Ones that walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's what we were. Now, young people, what about today? What about right now? What has he done? We had in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. It doesn't say by grace you are being saved. We are saved every day. But this is that past tense in my life, in yours, when I was brought to know the Lord Jesus as my own personal Savior. But then we go into the future. It says, he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And Tony was saying to us yesterday that we're going now, not into the past, no longer in the present, but the Spirit of God takes us away into that which is in the future, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Do you know who he's showing this to? He's showing this to men and women and boys and girls that there might be a response from you and I today. You see, we're not working to be saved. We're working because we are saved. And that's where we're coming to in these verses that are ahead. We are saved. And because we have been saved, the Lord says, I have something for you to do for me, for my interest.
It's also wonderful that when you think of the future, we get reminded of what Uncle Emil said yesterday, where Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And you can see this in that all the things of the world, the economy going up and down, the governments, all the failures of the world. There has never been an established, successful government system ever, despite what you may think of democracy. It's a failure. But when we go into the millennium, it's going to be the most successful government ever. There's going to be no flaw, no failure at all. And we are going to reign with Christ in all of his glory. What a blessed thing this is after we read the first couple verses, the transition from children of wrath and children of disobedience and dead in our trespasses and sin to ruling with Christ in all of his glory.
Amen. And I was just going to simply highlight that word, and you just used it, Matt, was transition. Because we've seen yesterday and today what we were in the past. Chuck just reminded of us, Emil just reminded, dead corpses, right? But then what we have in verse 4 and 5 is that our condition was changed. Who changed it? Christ changed it, right? So first of all, our condition is changed. And now we find in verse 6, we have a position that's changed, Okay? And this is sort of a change now that's happened as we've looked behind. And now, from this point, we find ourselves in a new position as we're going to move forward here. And it's important to realize that now we've come to this point. Okay? So that we were, past tense, I know I'm highlighting to a certain degree, but as we look forward here, we have a changed condition, which means that we're not spiritual corpses any longer. And we have been brought into a new position, seated in Christ, together with Him, in heavenly places, in the heavenlies. And so now we are in a heavenly character as we move forward, okay, as we continue on here.
I was just considering that it took great power to make us alive. In the first chapter and verse 7, we spoke about the riches of His grace. And this is important for us to write down, because we'll see that it took great power and it took great wealth to bring us to where we are in Christ. So in the first chapter in verse 7, we have the riches of His grace. In the second chapter now, in verse 4, we speak of God, but God who is rich in mercy. And now in the 7th verse, it says that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. We'll see later in the 3rd chapter that it speaks about the riches of His glory. So, young people, we need to understand a little bit of the great amount of power and wealth that is associated with what God is doing towards us. First, it took great riches in mercy. Then it was that great love that has brought us from a great distance. And now He's giving us a glimpse of something yet future, because we cannot really enter into it here. But in that day to come, He will show to us the exceeding riches of His grace. It's amazing when sometimes, you know, men love to believe that we have a part in the things of God. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus marks a point by which God is done with man. And there is new creation where all things are of God. And the exceeding riches of His grace, when this is unfolded to us, it will bring to our attention how great, how exceedingly great the riches of His grace have been to us. And then He goes on to say, by grace, this same exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness, it says, it is for by grace that we are saved. It says, not of yourselves. It is something that has been given to us freely, the gift of God.
I really need some help. I'm in a bit of a fix. I don't exactly understand what grace is. So I need somebody to help me. I need some young brother to think of what is grace in your mind. We're sitting here saying that grace has met our deepest need. What are we saying?